Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by It's For Women. You are not 9 to 5 and neither are we. Conveniently open online 365 days per year, 24 hours per day.
Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1.
Now you're all very, very welcome back. 51551 is the text. And now for those not interested in the Mad Sports Festival of the summer, not Euros, Wimbledon, GA Championships, Olympics, Premier League, everything is going on in there. What is the alternative? Could cinema be your refuge? And it's always a surefire way to keep the kids entertained because, of course, the schools are out for summer as well. We don't simply list out films here, okay? We get someone who has passion and a little bit of obsession as well, and that's Olivia Fahey, who's editor from Geek Ireland. Welcome, studio.
How's it going,
Olivia? And because you never really go outdoors at all, do you? Just cinema.
Pretty much. I am like always nearly like nocturnal because it's always just darkness around. I'm just watching TV, watching movies, all the fun things.
No harm at all. By the way, we have to start talking about this enormous hit. It's slightly unexpected, I would have thought, Inside Out 2, a sequel. It's a Disney Pixar, is it?
It is indeed, yes. And actually, it was probably the film that I felt had the most pressure on its shoulders for the summer because, like, the majority of the blockbusters that are coming out this summer, they are sequels or franchise additions. But because Inside Out 1 was so beloved and, like, it became a go-to sort of source for child psychiatrists to help children deal with their emotions as they're growing up and things like that. So it was like properly one of the best things that Pixar has ever done. So Inside Out 2 has a lot to live up to. And even though all the others are sequels or franchise editions, I thought that this one has like the most pressure. But oh my God, has it lived up to it? It's pulled in like 4.5 million euro in the Irish box office alone. It has broken the billion mark in like, I think, 3 weeks since its release. So it's absolutely flying. And so does
Barbie levels of success.
Even more so, I think, because I think it took longer for Barbie to hit the billion mark.
It did, yeah. And explain the concept again. Little cartoon characters inside the girl's head. She's Riley.
She's Riley, yeah. So now Riley is hitting puberty. So when we met her beforehand, she was dealing with like trying to bring sadness into her world. She was always so full of joy. And when they moved house, sadness kept trying to like creep in a little bit because she was a bit homesick.
The emotions are characters inside her head.
They are indeed. Yeah. So essentially this time around, she is about to start high school. She's gone to this hockey camp because of fans of the first one. Remember, she was a big ice hockey player. And now there's kind of a few friendship dynamics that are changing and she's hitting puberty and all of these new emotions are coming in. We've got anxiety, ennui, embarrassment, you name it, like, it's absolutely gas.
There's sport in this.
There is a little bit of sport. A little bit of sport.
We'll have a listen to this. This is great because these are such a clever idea for the sequel. We're introducing new emotions who are the characters inside our head in Inside Out 2.
I'm anxiety. I'm one of Riley's new emotions and we are just super jazzed to be here. Where can I put my stuff?
What do you mean we?
I wish I was as tall as all of you.
Who the heck are you?
I'm Envy.
Ooh, look at your hair.
Oh, yeah, not happening.
Okay, who's this guy?
What's your name, big fella?
That's embarrassment. He's not really big on eye contact or, like, good talking, but he's a really sweet guy.
Well, welcome to headquarters, embarrassment. Oh, we're doing a fit. No. Oh, nope, going high. Oh, you got a real sweaty palm there, buddy.
What emotion was that?
That's ennui.
On what?
Ennui. It's what you would call the boredom.
Well, come on up here. Ennui. Am I saying right? Ennui. No. Oh, nicknames. I'm going to call you Wee Wee.
No.
I'm going to call you Wee Wee.
Ennui. Is it the best character in it?
I would actually say, personally, I really enjoyed Anxiety's edition, but ennui is so funny because, like, instead of like using the console deck that they have to kind of control Riley's emotions and things like that, it uses an app instead and it's just like horizontal on the couch constantly. It's just like, oh, this is so annoying. it is very funny, but I think Maya Hawke was brilliantly cast as Anxiety, and fans of Stranger Things will know her as Robin in the series. So, it's great.
Oh, she's Robin in Stranger Things.
She is, yes.
Okay. And she's a Nepo baby.
She is a Nepo baby. And she was like, if I'm a Nepo baby, I will take the opportunities I get because you know what? I need the work.
Ethan Hawke and
Uma Thurman's daughter.
Yeah, I don't mean Nepo Baby. I mean, you have to have talent.
Exactly.
Brooklyn Beckham is the antidote. It shows that Nepo Baby doesn't exist. You've got to have talent. We talk about that huge success of that. There are very notable flops, aren't there?
Yes. And I think, I wonder, is it something to do with the fact that they came out so early in the summer? So one of the big surprises for me was Furiosa and Mad Max Saga, because that was being billed as one of the biggest hits of the summer.
Massive hype.
And it has kind of fallen to, it hasn't even broken the top 10 of the year so far. Garfield released on the exact same day, and that outsold it. So that'll tell you what you need to know.
Yeah. Another Garfield, and that's an animated one, isn't it?
It is indeed, yes.
And The Fall Guy, and that was expected to be big, Ryan Gosling's massive Barbie follow-up.
Honestly, and I'm very surprised that it didn't do any better in the box office, purely because it was so funny. Like, it was a bit stupid in parts, but it was like an action rom-com sort of style thing, and the stunts were absolutely spectacular. So again, failed to break the top 10 so far, and with so many more films yet to come out, it may not even be in the top 20 by the end of the year.
And that's scary, because that was the ultimate date movie, wasn't it?
Yeah,
which
it was
the idea
penned,
of going
yeah.
to the cinema. Are people just not going to the cinema? Are they?
I think that's kind of the kicker. A lot of people are waiting until it comes to streaming to watch a lot of these films. Like, it's actually really difficult to try and get the bums on seats these days. I think a great example of this is Argylle. Now, this was absolutely panned by the critics and
really
by a lot of audiences as well. I personally thought it was so stupid and I enjoyed it. But at the same time, it made so much money on Apple TV Plus.
Did it?
It was a massive hit, had a load of people sitting at home and putting it on and watching it, and it became one of their biggest films of the year so far.
So people rented it?
Either renting it or streaming it on their streaming service
as
well.
Subscribe to Apple Plus, yeah.
So it just depends on what people actually want to go see, and I think this could be like the Kevin Costner new film. I think that could be a great example of a film that people may want to see at home as opposed to go to the cinema to see.
You'd imagine a Western with the big sweeping cinematography and fans of Yellowstone, there's lots of them listening to this show. We're the official show for Yellowstone. I don't know if you know that, Olivia. But I was really excited about this one, but it's just absolutely being murdered by the critics.
A little bit, yeah. And like, Kevin has put a lot of his own money into this. And I think that's
40 million.
Yeah, 40 million.
Is that a lot in his world even?
Do you know what? I think if they made it for about 120, then you're thinking like, that's a third of the budget has gone from his own pocket. So that's a fair chunk, as opposed to like this.
He's been divorced a few times as well, hasn't he?
Exactly. I think maybe that's why he was kind of holding out on the most recent one, because he was like, no, I kind of need this money. I've already spent this in my head.
But what's amazing is that he kind of seems to have half ruined Yellowstone, because he's not currently in the final season, half season that's coming out in November. Or is he? There's sort of there's a drama going on there in itself, because he went off to make this devote basically kind of the zenith of his career, essentially, because it's the first big thing he's done since Dancing with Wolves.
Yeah, it's like his big passion project for him. Yeah, and I think with the popularity of Yellowstone, maybe he kind of thought that the desire was there for this big Western epic. Yeah. But I think maybe because Yellowstone was a watch at home thing, as is the spinoff is 1923, isn't it, or something like that?
1888. There's three spinoffs
there
now.
Oh, it's three of them, my goodness.
There is a 23 as well. But it's Horizon Part 1. It's 3 hours long. Do you know the review that really put me off? Kevin Costner doesn't show up for an hour.
Really?
Good to see a Kevin Costner thing. And he's not there for a whole hour, apparently.
Wow.
But Horizon Part 2 comes out in a few weeks' time, in the middle of August.
There you go.
So,
and I think that's another kicker. If you see a part one in a title, a lot of people tend to be like, oh, maybe I'll just wait until the second part comes out and I'll watch the two of them back to back.
There's a third part he hasn't made yet. So that's, you're dead right. So people will wait for the 9 hours down the road to sit down and watch it like
exactly.
A series. Okay, so that's another flop that's happening at the moment.
Yep.
And he's well behind. So things have done very well. You've mentioned Garfield and another Godzilla thing. Are people actually going to see?
They are. And you know what? This one, apparently, I actually didn't see it, but one of my colleagues did. And he was like, this is actually one of the better ones from the MonsterVerse. So this is actually, I was laughing because a lot of the films in the top 10 at the moment are forequels, as I call them. They're like literally the fourth installment to a franchise. This one is the fifth installment to the Warner Brothers MonsterVerse. So we've had a lot of these films already, but people still seem to have the appetite for them. And I think off the back of Godzilla Minus One's success as well.
That was apparently brilliant. And I couldn't actually see that, because they had pulled it from everywhere to allow this film to do well. Now, Godzilla Minus One came out at Christmas, wasn't it? It was Japanese.
It was kind of Christmas in the US, and then it came out in the new year over here. So there was like that kind of gap. But like, it was made for pennies in comparison to Godzilla and King Kong, and it's like won best special effects at the Oscars as well. Okay. So, and they had all like little Godzilla figurines with them and everything. So my little nerdy heart was very happy for them.
And that was really good. Godzilla Minus One.
Brilliant. Yes. Streaming on Netflix.
Oh, it's streaming on Netflix now. Oh, the one thing I don't have. Okay, tell us about the upcoming stuff then, because people are going, right, they've probably seen Inside Out 2 already because it's done so well in Ireland and it came out just before the schools broke up. But what other kid-friendly things that are going to be good?
So the closest one to release is Despicable Me 4. So again, another fourquel coming out. And this time Gru, he has a son who, you know, adores his mother, maybe not so much a fan of his daddy, and, you know, ends up bringing the kid along on like his latest adventure. And I just have such a soft spot for the Minions. I just think there's, again, if it's stupid and funny, I'm going to enjoy it. And I just think they have just hit the nail on the head with things that will keep bringing kids back to cinemas. And with what we've seen in like the top 10 so far, a lot of them are the kid-friendly sort of style film. So I think this is probably going to do very, very well in the box office.
Okay. And Despicable Me 4, it comes out on the 12th of July.
Yes, so very soon.
So really good for people who like bright colours.
Yes, exactly. Lots of yellow.
I can't, is Twisters, that's not going to be kid friendly, is it?
No, that's not going to be kid friendly. So that's going to be a bit more
What else
more
for
adult.
The kids do we have for the summer? Because the summer is usually a good time for children.
It usually is, but you know what? It's actually very little in terms of like the very kid friendly things. And even then, like with some of the Marvel content that they've put out over the last few years, like that's usually been kind of at least 12A, but no, we've got like Deadpool and Wolverine, and that's going to be rated R.
That's going to be, yeah, that's for grown-ups only.
That is
it?
For grown-ups only. It's going to be 18s plus.
Kids are probably watching that on streamers though.
Who knows what people like allow their kids to do in their own home is their own business.
I'm very excited. It's not actually happening in the summer, but Beetlejuice is
Can't
the sequel
wait.
To Beetlejuice. And I'm
just said it three times. Where is he?
No, I actually did, there was a pause in between. But why isn't this happening, coming out in the summer? Obviously, they're leaning towards Halloween.
I think that's the kicker. And to me, that makes perfect sense. Because also, the summer can be very jam-packed as well. So you do want to give it some sort of like breathing space. And September tends to be when a lot of like the Oscar bait kind of films start to creep in. So if people don't want to go see something that would be kind of more serious, you know, Beetlejuice is a great option as an alternative.
How long ago was the original?
Oh, it's literally, I think it's 30 years.
Is it? Okay.
It could
be
30
years.
But it's
not a specific anniversary, I don't think, is it?
No, it's not.
It's such a good film. I love the original.
Absolutely brilliant. And I'm so excited to see how the new additions to the cast kind of blend in with the characters that we've already come to know and love. We've got Jenna Ortega's in there. She's playing Winona Ryder's daughter.
And she's in Ireland right now.
She's in Ireland right now, filming Wednesday.
Yeah, Tim Burton. I saw him actually down there. Yeah, just happened to be walking by. He's down around that.
I would love to like sit down and have a coffee with him sometime. I just think he's so brilliant. Like, I'm actually wearing a Nightmare Before Christmas t-shirt right now, so big fan.
Yeah, and of course the great thing is, as he's pointed out, because there's a kind of a turn against CGI, isn't there, that he doesn't use CGI, he's used all little figurines and very slow and expensive way of filmmaking.
Exactly. And I think the kind of the realistic side of things, it just makes, I'd say, the edit a bit quicker as well, because when you think about it, bringing it back to Deadpool and Wolverine, they use a lot of live action, like real sets kind of thing. And because of that, they only finished filming maybe September, October last year, and that's coming out in July. So that's a very quick turnaround in terms of like a Marvel film. Usually they could take it up to a year or more. I think Captain America 4 has been in production and post-production for 2 years nearly now.
Because
so
it's basically a cartoon. They have to...
There's probably a lot of SFX, but also there's a lot of rewrites that were going on as well. Whereas with Deadpool and Wolverine, clearly they were happy enough and it's done.
And there's not much CGI in that, really.
I'd say there'll be a little bit, but probably just not as much as, say, Ant-Man and the Wasp Quantumania.
Oh, yeah, getcha. This gets you excited. The music for Beetlejuice is just fantastic. Danny Elfman, of course, does everything.
Icon. I actually got to see him perform the Nightmare Before Christmas track live in the Three Arena before lockdown. So I was like, that was one of the greatest nights of my life.
1988 is Beetlejuice.
Was it in the 80s?
Gina Davis and Alec Baldwin, who's having a bad time at the moment.
Don't mention the war.
It's showtime. Oh, is that the line? I can't remember.
It's so iconic.
We are nerding hard on that one.
We really are. I'm very excited. I've even like dressed up as Beetlejuice for Halloween before, so I'm like, do I break out the blazer again?
Did you make up and everything?
I did, yeah. I had green hairspray in the hair and all.
And Michael Keaton is back.
He's back in it. Winona Ryder is back as well. You've got Willem Dafoe, who's going to be playing a kind of afterlife cop kind of thing. Monica Bellucci is in it as well. And I think she's playing Beetlejuice's wife or something along
those
lines.
You know everything. You know everything that's going on.
Hey, obsessed.
Come here to me now. There's a new Alien film coming out.
Alien Romulus, yes. So this is being billed as a standalone film.
All right.
But it kind of falls into the timeline of between Alien and Aliens, and I hope I have that right now.
Right. So back to the 70s.
Kind of, yeah. But yeah. It can stand on its own 2 feet is what they're trying
between
to
the
say.
John
so
Hurt
you don't have to.
And Sigourney Weaver. Isn't that what you're, that's what you're playing?
Pretty today, much, yes. Yeah. So it's
and Ridley Scott's directing it.
No, it's not Ridley Scott. It is, the name has escaped me. Maybe one of your listeners will kindly text it into us.
She doesn't know everything, it seems. Fede Alvarez, director of The Evil Dead, 2013. Thank God for briefs. Things written down for you. Alien Romulus, that's the 16th of August. Speaking of big movies, and speaking of Ridley Scott, he has directed this Gladiator sequel.
He has.
Irish Interest Alert.
Paul Mescal.
This is his first blockbuster, isn't it?
Yes, and it's the first images actually were just released yesterday through Vanity Fair. So we actually got a proper look at what the film is going to look like. I'd say the trailer's probably not that far behind it either. And I've actually been quite nervous for this film. I've been very much looking forward to seeing it, but also like it could be absolutely awful, but it could be absolutely brilliant. So from looking at the images, it definitely seems to have the same vibe that we saw in the original Gladiator film. We get a little bit more information now on what the storyline is going to involve. So it's been confirmed that Paul Mescal is playing Lucius, who was his grandfather used to be the emperor and he's the son of Lucilla. But she has sent him away to Northern Africa to grow up away from the Roman Empire.
Right.
And then like the conquerors come knocking on the door once he's kind of grown up and he has a wife and a family. And this general ends up arresting him, throwing him into the arena. And then that's going to be the first time that he gets to see his mother again. And lo and behold, she's standing up there in the audience, looking down upon her son, not realizing it's her son. And she's there with her lover, who just so happens to be the general who has put him there in the first place.
Okay.
So
very
I'd say
Roman
that's
Empire.
Exactly. So I think that's going to be kind of our core
lot
plot,
of hype.
I think.
A lot of hype on that one, isn't there?
Big because, time. And now it's going
to live
to be
up to Russell Crowe and Joaquin Phoenix.
Oh yes, so much to live up to. But now it's also going to be coming out on the same day as Wicked Part 1. So I think they're trying to push a new Barbenheimer on us now with this kind of dual release thing. So I'm not sure how that's going to go down.
Slappy musical versus Paul Mescal fighting baboons, according to some of the reports.
Yeah, baboons and Pedro Pascal.
And is Barry Keoghan, did he appear in that in the end?
No,
or did he pull out?
So he had to pull out because he went off to film Bird instead, which got rave reviews at Cannes, actually.
Yes,
so.
But anyway, that is lots to get excited about as well. And we didn't even mention Joker. There's lots of stuff in the autumn. We'll have to get you back in, Olivia, to talk about what's coming then in the autumn. But that'll get people excited away from sport anyway for
exactly,
for the
plenty
next
to see.
Future. Where can we keep up to date again? Geek Ireland.
Geekireland.com and at Geek Ireland on social media.
Perfect. Olivia Fahey, thank you so much and enjoy all the nerdism.
Oh, I will.
Back after these.
Email oliver@rte.ie.